Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time to talk some hoops.
It's down the lane and throws it down with two hands.
Let's talk about the team chasing a championship in 2020.
Giannis for the steal. Giannis all the way.
It's the Milwaukee Basketball Hour.
Stevenson to LeBron. Slam dunk.
With Bill Michaels and former Milwaukee Buck and Marquette sharpshooter Steve Novak.
Shoots the three at the horn and he banked it in.
Loaded up for another three. Got it.
The Milwaukee Bucks' hope of winning their first NBA title since 1971 off to a rocky start. Vukovic last night played a playoff high of 35 points, 14 boards, and the Orlando Magic stunned the top-seeded Bucks 122-110. And now Bucks fans worry about Game 2. Bucks need to make some adjustments, obviously. Welcome. It's the Milwaukee Basketball Hour. We are glad to have you. We're glad to be back on the air, to be perfectly honest with you, after the COVID break, so to speak. I'm Bill Michaels, Steve Novak alongside. We are brought to you by a lot of good people that are back with us again, our friends from Network Health, Kessler's Diamonds, and Lammy Sports Management. And Steve, last night as that game was going on, my phone, my Twitter account were blowing up with people saying, what is wrong with the Bucks? I can only imagine what your phone was like.
Yeah, no, my phone was off because I was I was doing the pregame and the postgame, so it was more just honestly watching the game. You were just trying to figure it out from start to finish, kind of what was going on and what was different. But to be honest, this is a different year, and you're right. I don't think it was expected that this was going to happen in the first game of the playoffs, but I do think we need to look at it through a different lens. I think from this point forward, I don't know if we needed to say that in the first eight seeding games, but I think now that we've seen the Lakers lose to Portland in the first game and the Milwaukee Bucks lose to the eighth seed in the first game of the playoffs, I think that, you know, look, the Bucks should be winning, the Lakers should be winning, but I don't know that we should be as shocked as we would be normally in the past. I would at least say that. And I don't think that's even taking anything away from the one seeds. I think this environment is clearly different. And it might end up being more exciting. It's certainly different, though.
With what happened last night, did you see that as a carryover from some of the play that we've witnessed while they've been in the bubble?
Oh, 100%. 100%. And I think, you know, I guess just as I talk with Craig Kishon and Jim Paschke and Marcus Johnson and Zora, we talk about what's going on and what is happening and what happened in the last three games of the regular season before the COVID break, before the hiatus. Did something happen when they lost those last three games on the West Coast trip? And then it was like, is something different now in these eight seeding games? What's going on? And it really does. It feels to me very much like the eight seeding games were the last games of the regular season, which at the end of any regular season, the last eight games, call it, are very different for the top rated teams, for the best teams, than they are the teams that are fighting for a playoff spot. They're approaching it very differently. But the teams that are the top spots have a rhythm. They've been playing all season long. They're just taking a week or 2 weeks kind of off to get ready for the playoffs. Well, the difference, I feel like this time, has really been there was 4.5 months off. And so these 8 games needed to be treated the same by all the teams in order to give themselves an equal chance, except for the bad teams were playing for their lives and the good teams already knew they were locked into their playoff spots a lot of times. So the bad teams, I feel like, are in rhythm. They've been playing for their lives. Damian Lillard had 61, 51, and 42 back-to-back-to-back. Like, Booker had, I don't know how many points. He didn't lose a game. 8 straight games he won. For Phoenix, didn't even make the playoffs. But those teams are, they're fired up. They've got momentum. They've been playing for everything. They've been putting it out there. And the Bucks were like, we have one locked up. We know what we have. We need to be healthy. And so you don't fault them for that. But there is no doubt those 8 games, seeding games, they were approached differently. And this season is different because 4.5 months is different than a week or 2 weeks of calm.
You had mentioned the carryover from the way the season ended prior to the COVID shutdown. They were 1-4 in their last 5, and then in the bubble they only won 3 out of those. Their 4 wins in their last 13 ball games. They have not put back-to-back wins together since earlier in the season. Out of that, and I agree with you, I think they wanted to get Connaughton and Bledsoe, they wanted to get their minutes to get their health back, they wanted to get guys indoctrinated, they wanted to get a little bit of everybody to get to kind of dip their toe into the water. We kept talking about they look a step slow. Yesterday, defensively speaking, and I went back and watched that series with Orlando. What they did against Orlando during the regular season was get out to an early lead. Their defense is what fed their offense. It was a lot of rebounds, a lot of fast break points, a lot of fast hands, turnovers, steals, things like that. They did a lot of that. We didn't see that last night. We haven't seen that for a while, Steve. It just looks like they're a step slow. Is that just getting in sync? Is that not having your legs under you? Is that, and I think the way I looked at guys last night, especially when you got 4 guys collapsing around the driver and leaving 3 guys beyond the perimeter wide open, to me it looked like guys were not even communicating properly.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I do. I think that what we're seeing is what you see a lot of times early in the season for really any team, really good teams, bad teams, young teams. Early in the season, there's miscommunications and there's kind of trying to get on the same page and kind of feel out roles early in the season, honestly. And I feel like there's a little bit of that even now. Like, Brook Lopez has no games in the regular season of the first 65 where he has 20 plus points. He has 3 games in the 8 seeding games where he has 20 plus points. So now Brook Lopez is a little bit of a different role player. He's doing a little bit different things. He's scoring the ball a little more. Well, Giannis was out some. He was resting. Chris Middleton didn't play a bunch of the second half. So the minutes were different. And so now the playoffs start. And I think, yeah, there is a guys feeling each other out, trying to figure out, are we the same as we were? Are we different? Should we be approaching things differently? And yeah, I think that defensively, I couldn't agree more. This Bucks team has been as great as they've been offensively, which they've been great at certain points during the regular season, undeniably, has been based on their defense, their on-ball activity, the turnovers they've created, the fast break points, the scoring in the paint, knocking down volumes of threes. Those numbers have come from the fact that they've won their games this year by an average of over 10 points per game. They've been really beating the lights out of teams all year long until post hiatus. So, you know, I do. I think they've got to find a way to capture that back. Maybe losing the first game in the first round, you know, could really just be that fire. I don't think they're missing a big piece or something that they can't get back. I do. I think it's a fire and an energy that they've got, and a desperation, I think, that they've got to capture. And I think they can. They certainly can.
Last night after the ball game, this was George Hill talking about the team and needing to do a little soul searching.
It's not a good feeling. You know, we got to figure it out. That's what good teams do. We got to find out a way to continue to be the team that we were before this whole, you know, pandemic goes. So we got to do a little soul searching, but I think we'll be fine.
So when he says soul searching, I mean, obviously he's looking inside that locker room, Steve, but you know, kind of players speak better than anybody. Is that something that he's directing towards his guys, being a veteran leader, or is that just a cliche that he's throwing out to those that are asking questions?
You know, I tend to think it might be a little bit of a cliche. I mean, because I think the truth is, soul searching, this team is the oldest team in the league. They're veteran. They've got dogs on this team. Giannis can go and get buckets when he wants to. Chris Middleton has been awesome all year long. These guys have got to find a way to shut down Nikola Vucevic, and the rest of the Orlando Magic team will not beat them. Nikola Vucevic can't have 35 points and 14 rebounds and basically do it by doing what he was expected to do. The playoffs are you find the best player on the other team and you take them out of what they do and hope that the rest of the team crumbles. And if you think that the star on the other team is so good that you can't stop him, you let him get 50 and you take everyone else away. And I think the Orlando Magic has taken that latter approach. They're saying, look, we're going to do our best in transition on Giannis. We're going to load up on him, try to stop him. But we got to take Middleton away. We got to stay close to Brook Lopez. We can't let Dante DiVincenzo come in and get hot. We got to keep the others down. Because Giannis, I think they realize, is going to get his. He's too good. He's too powerful. But I think for the Milwaukee Bucks, you stop Nikola Vucevic, you take away 35 and 14, and you turn that into 20 and 10, the Bucks are still going to win this series in the next four straight, I think. So, I mean, I do. I think it's a soul search. I think they know what they got to do, and I think they got the guys to do it. So, you know, that first game was certainly, it was tough to watch, but it was not the first rough game we've watched in the last few weeks. So I think it does. It makes you worry a little bit.
For those listening, welcome back to the Milwaukee Basketball Hour. We're glad to be back on the air after a long stretch off. It cut us short as much as it cut the basketball season short, no doubt about it. Steve Novak alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. Giannis last night, Steve, 31 points, ended up with 17 boards, 7 assists, but 5 turnovers and did not score down the stretch. They tended to pack it around him and seemed to really frustrate him at times. So, do you expect something different from Giannis, or do you expect guys like Chris Middleton? It was funny because I had Kenny the Jet Smith on today on my program, and he said he wouldn't change anything at all if he was Coach Bud, because it was unforced stuff. Brook Lopez 0-for-4 from beyond the arc. At times he had a hand in his face, but he was just missing. You look last night from other guys that weren't hitting as consistently as we've kind of become accustomed to. You know, Chris Middleton, had a good day from the free throw line, but only 2-of-6 beyond the arc. 4-of-12 from the field. It just seemed like there was a lid on the basket at times, and guys started forcing up shots. So he said, look, the Orlando Magic didn't force them to do something that they didn't want to do. They just weren't hitting their shots.
Yeah, I think that's true. And also, Giannis not scoring late in the game. When you realize you're getting your buckets, you're getting your points, but you're losing the whole game, you know, I don't blame Giannis for thinking, you know, maybe I need to just facilitate. I got to get somebody going. I got to have Middleton knock down a few shots or, you know, keep pushing it in transition and throwing it ahead to my guy in the corner, because if they get a couple shots going, one, it'll be good for us to catch up a little bit, but two, it'll open things up for me in the lane. So, yeah, I mean, I do tend to agree with that because Giannis got his 30 plus points. He played a really good game. And there's no doubt that this is, you hear it a million times when you watch any NBA show, it's a make or miss league. And if you're going to get those shots, and Chris Middleton usually is, I mean, for God's sakes, he was a sliver shy of 50, 40, 90 this year, 50% from the field, 40% from three, and 90% from the free throw line. Chris Middleton had a historic shooting season. And so I think, you know, in the playoffs in the first game for him not to shoot the ball well, you do have to have the confidence to stick with those guys. Brook Lopez has had games he was 0-for-12, 1-for-12, games like that. He stayed with it, and the Bucks ended up with, you know, the best record the last two seasons. And so I think you can't tweak too much now that the playoffs are here. I mean, it's a different season, but I think the Bucks' best chance still does lie in being who they have been when they were at their best. And so I agree with Kenny Smith in that. I mean, you're not going to go over-tweaking things and thinking the Orlando Magic have something, you know, masterful figured out.
And they had Aaron Gordon out last night with that strained left hamstring. Michael Carter-Williams was out with the strained foot tendon. So it wasn't like, even Orlando was at full strength coming into this contest. And you know what? And I hate to say this because they haven't proven anything, but do you think the Bucks could have looked at this like a lot of people had talked about and said, well, you know, now it's the postseason, they'll flip the switch. And you know as well as I do, it's hard just to flip a switch. There's no switch to flip. Your effort, your rhythm, your motion, everything has to be in sync for you to start hitting shots. You just don't all of a sudden flip a switch and it goes on.
No, you definitely don't flip a switch. I mean, I think, I don't know how every guy individually was trained, but I was trained by my coach in college, Tom Crean. When the times I heard a switch discussed, it was when we were in practice having a bogus practice, just turning the ball over, missing shots, playing sloppy. He would blow the whistle, bring it in, and say, you know, a few select words, and basically something to the effect of, do you guys really think tomorrow when you play UConn, when you play Louisville, when you play, you know, whoever it is, you're going to flip a switch? You think you can just have a bogus practice and show up and be great? And so, I mean, I don't think I was the only guy coached like that. I imagine all these guys have been told the flipping the switch is a very dangerous thing, to think that you're all of a sudden going to be something you haven't been leading up to that point. So, yeah, I think that there was a bit of an expectation because of the way this season went that there was going to be a switch flipped, because it was 8 games and then the playoffs. So you kind of thought, oh, we'll ease in and then flip the switch. But, you know, it seems more reasonable with that scenario, but I think it's still equally dangerous. And I think we're seeing that with both the 1 seeds in the East and West losing their first playoff game.
So Milwaukee Basketball Hour, we're going to step away for a moment. Steve Novak, he's on the Network Health Hometown Advantage Hotline. Network Health Hometown Advantage Hotline. Network Health, your hometown advantage health plan. Also, we're brought to you by our friends at Kessler Diamonds and Lammy Sports Management. So we're going to step away. The Bucks down 1-0 against the Orlando Magic in the postseason, in the bubble. We'll talk more about that. Also, start to talk a little bit about Game 2 coming up next on the Milwaukee Basketball Hour.
Border to Border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
The West played harder than us. They played better than us, but we played hard, obviously. But they made shots. They had the momentum. They got, when we were coming close back to the game, we sent them to the free throw line. They just play better. I don't know if they play harder. We got to play harder. So even if they play a better game, we can still win the game. We can still put ourselves in a position to win the game.
122-110, the Orlando Magic knock off the Bucks in Game 1 of the postseason. Orlando now leads that series 1-0. Welcome back to the Milwaukee Basketball Hour featuring Steve Novak. I'm Bill Michaels. Steve Novak joining us on the Network Health Hometown Advantage Hotline. Also, speaking of Giannis, the Kessler Diamonds in the rough stat of the week. Despite the Bucks losing Game 1, Giannis was the MVP himself. 31 points, 17 boards, and 7 assists. And that is the Kessler's Diamond in the rough stat of the week. Visit kesslersdiamonds.com to find a location near you. We're also brought to you by our friends at Lammy Sports Management. If you want to find us anywhere and everywhere, it's at MKEBBallHour, at MKEBBallHour. Over on social media as well. That question, Steve, that answer, I should say, by Giannis was in response to a question when it was posed by a media person after the game that said, you know, hey, it looks like they just played harder than you. He almost took offense. He said, not harder. They just played better. And then he talked about playing harder. It's almost like he took offense to the fact that they didn't. Now, I never could judge if a guy played hard or didn't play hard. Sometimes you can play extremely hard and still look like you're running in quicksand just because you just don't feel it that day. So I'll never question that. But like I said, it certainly looked like Orlando, everywhere they went on the floor, was just a half step quicker.
Yeah, you know, it did. And I think the game started out, it felt to me very much like the Bucks were in control. They came out and I want to say made their first 3 shots, maybe 4 shots. They were up 8-4, 10-4. And there was an offensive foul call on Giannis, which I thought was a really bad call. It seemed like he was basically being chased. He ran into the defender and they got a charge call. And obviously, there's still, you know, 45 minutes of basketball to play, so you can't blame it on one call. But there's no doubt it was like the Bucks came out with the focus. They knew they had to play with a different kind of urgency and be different than they were in those first 8 seeding games. But then really from there on out, I mean, at the end of the first quarter, the Bucks were down 10. At halftime, down 10, 10 or 12. At the end of the third, still down 10. They just couldn't catch up. So, I mean, I agree with very much what Giannis said. I feel like when Giannis was interviewed, when Coach Bud was interviewed after the game, it was hard to put your finger on, okay, I looked at the stat sheet and I found why. You know, we turned the ball over 30 times. That wasn't it. It was like the three-pointers made was similar. The rebounding was similar. The only 2 numbers that were really different were free throws missed. The Bucks missed 10. I think Orlando missed 1. And points off turnovers. You know, I think Orlando scored 25 points off turnovers, but the turnovers themselves were pretty close. So you know, it felt to me like what we kind of talked about earlier. There was the expectation that the switch would be flipped and the Bucks would turn it on and they would run these guys over. And then once a little adversity hit, all of a sudden it was back to reality. And the Orlando Magic, it's a little troubling to me to think that the Orlando Magic, they do have five guys out. You know, Mo Bamba, he's hurt for them. They've got Aaron Gordon. He's out for them. And I think you would expect that that hurts the Orlando Magic. The way they played, though, shows that they may actually be playing with more of an equal opportunity offense. The ball definitely stopped a little bit more with Aaron Gordon in there. And now it seems like guys are playing free. They're moving the ball. DJ Augustine finished with 11 assists yesterday. So, you know, I do. I think that I expect the next game to look really different. I don't know that there was one thing that the Bucks could put their finger on that said, this is why we lost. They didn't not play hard. It just felt to me like to let Nikola Vucevic get 35, and you know he's their guy, I think was the one thing that at the end of the day the Bucks, I think, felt like play harder, but maybe just smarter.
Giannis, after the game, talked about playing in down there in Orlando, and I know that there were some references made about home court advantage and not having that energy and such, but this was him talking after the game about the weight of the bubble that it's put him that's put on him and others.
One thing I'll say is that, you know, we play a game or we have a practice, and obviously being in the bubble, we don't get to go home. We don't get to go, you know, be away from basketball even for a few hours. You know, if things were normal, we'd be back home playing in our home court, and after the game, we go home. We go and spend time with our families, watch a movie, eat your, you know, favorite food, sleep in your own bed. You're just comfortable, you know. But now it just feels like we always at work. You cannot escape basketball, but at the end of the day, personally, you know, it is what it is. Everybody's going through this. It's not just us. This is 16 teams right now in the bubble going through the same things that we're going through. They're not able to see their families. They're constantly in the bubble. It's always about basketball. But we just got to do our job. You know, we got to man up and go out there, have fun. Don't think about nothing else. Just play basketball and try to get a win.
Now, Steve, I get it. I mean, you're in a bubble. There's nothing to do. You know, it's basically you, your guys. You've just been told here for the next couple of months, this is all you're going to do. This is all, and it's worked. Don't get me wrong. It's been great because they have had zero positive tests. It's worked phenomenally, and you give the NBA all the credit in the world. However, he did say something in there where everybody has to deal with it. So as much as he wants to say we can't see our families, we don't get the home court energy, we don't get the – everybody has to deal with it. It's kind of – It's him just being honest. It's a very candid moment. And some took it as, well, he's making excuses as to why they can't win. And I looked at it and said, you know, yes, I understand that, but it's something that everybody, as he stated, everybody has to deal with, and they have to figure out a way to have fun and just go do it and be loose. And it sounds like no adjustments to be made. Just go play your game.
Yeah, you're right. And I think the thing I love about Giannis and hearing him speak is he does think out loud. He's not premeditated. When someone asks him a question, you can tell he's like, look, I'm just going to tell you what I'm thinking and what I'm feeling. And I think what he said was exactly what anybody who I think would have been asked to go to the bubble realizes. Look, if you have a family, Giannis just had his son, Liam, and he's thinking to himself, people are saying, why are you not yourself? Why are you not the same as you were earlier this year? And he's basically, I think, expressing, hey, look, you know what, maybe things are a little different. Maybe I'm not the same all the way. Maybe some of my teammates aren't feeling the same because I miss my son. I miss my family. I miss the normal routine. And so I think they're maybe answering that question and saying, hey, I'm getting paid millions and I love it. And I love the game of basketball. But you know what, part of me is sad and this kind of sucks. I'd really rather not be here. And so I think he's being fair. He's answering that question and saying, this is tough. And at the same time, I think you're right. He's saying, now that I've said that out loud, I also want to be clear, we are all dealing with that. And so it's not an excuse, but I think he's being fair and saying, look, I miss my routine. I miss my family. I miss, you know, the normal things that even everybody else not in the bubble maybe is still able to experience. So I think his response is by no means an excuse, but I think I just look at it more as a very honest response to kind of a window into, I mean, how Giannis Antetokounmpo and probably his teammates, they truly are feeling a bit of loneliness and isolation.
I want to talk about a couple of individual players. Last night, Chris Middleton, not a great night, 4 of 12 shooting, 2 of 6 beyond the arc. On the other hand, Bledsoe, he was 5 of 11 and only 1 of 5 from beyond three-point, but he had 15, played pretty well, had 5 assists, only turned the ball over a couple of times. And for a guy that's coming back from COVID that had to get his legs under him, I think there's a lot of eyes on him. I think he fared pretty well in his first test.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think based on looking at all of Eric Bledsoe's games in the bubble so far, coming off of having COVID and then getting his legs back and getting his minutes up, I think Coach Bud played him 31 minutes in the last seeding game against Memphis. So, you know, I think that you could tell that there was still an attempt to get those legs under him, get the conditioning, and help him try to kind of find that rhythm. I agree. I thought he looked probably the best he has. And does that mean that he looks like he's in, you know, mid-season form? No, it doesn't look like that to me yet. But I think that it's very important that if this Bucks team is going to make the run that's expected, you know, Eric Bledsoe and the defense that he plays on the perimeter it's elite. And the pressure he puts on defenses when he has the ball in transition, when he's attacking the rim, you know, it's elite. And the Bucks, they need that because he gets easy buckets. He gets the buckets when the defenses are thinking, all right, we've been drilling this in practice. We've got to stop Giannis. We've got to find Middleton. Bledsoe is hitting a nice little transition pull-up three or attacking the rim. And so he is a key to this team. And, you know, I think when the Bucks are at their best, clearly it's Giannis, Chris Middleton, Bledsoe leading the way and kind of giving you that, you know, 25, 20, and 15 from those three guys. And so getting Bledsoe back to form, I think, is hugely important, and I agree. I thought he looked the best he has probably in that game, even though they lost to the Magic.
Hey, before I let you go, a couple of things. The other thing being, as a shooter, and you would know this, you know, Dante DiVincenzo has really struggled since coming into the bubble, and he was a guy that was a really reliable three-point shooter prior to the break for COVID. Tell me what he's going through right now. Again, yesterday, 1 for 6 from the field, 0 for 2 beyond the arc.
You know, part of me thinks that his legs, and I think the majority of guys' legs, they feel like the beginning of the season. And if you think of what a lot of shooters go through in the beginning of a season when they're, I mean, you got to remember, everybody did have 4.5 months off of games. You know, guys were still working out doing things, but you know, when you're talking about that game speed and that game rhythm, it's different. And so when I see a guy like Dante who was shooting the ball well, struggle a little bit, I do. I think that he is going to continue to shoot the ball to try to find the rhythm, but he is probably feeling still heavy. He's young, but I think he's still probably feeling those heavy early season legs. And I really do think that one game, because it's what happens during a regular season, it really just takes that one game. You go 4 for 5 instead of going 1 for 5, and all of a sudden your confidence is there, and you have a good second game, and you have a couple good practices, and all of a sudden, you know, the tired legs and the early season woes are behind you. So they don't have as much time to correct this, and so you hope to see it soon, but I really do. I think he's going to continue to be confident because that's how Coach Bud coaches. The Bucks are going to keep telling him that's what we need from you, and he wants to take those shots. He is a guy that he'll put his nose in there and not be scared, and you know, he's really played well this year. So I really do. I have confidence that he too is going to play better. I mean, really along with this whole team, but Dante and Bledsoe we just talked about, I really do. I think that if those guys stay with it, the Bucks have lost one tough one. It looks bad because it is, but I do think that they're going to be in fine shape if they can get this next win and just right the ship in the first round.
Real quick before I let you go, Vucevic goes off for 35, looked just so incredibly dominant. Or do you do anything differently defensively against him in game two?
Yeah, I think so. I think if it's with the same guys, if it's Brooke Lopez matched up with him, I think that maybe you take the chance that you stay closer to him no matter what the action is. If it's a pick and roll, we're just going to stay closer to Vucevic. Let somebody go by and maybe shoot a shot because we're going to take our chances. We can't let him just stay hot like that. Or I can definitely see, you know, smaller guys just guarding Vucevic. Can he overpower them? Yes, but the Bucks would likely be able to to double team if a guy got in a bad way. But by having a smaller guy, you just are in his space, not allowing him to have his comfort zone. He was shooting the ball. He was shooting open shots. And he got some tough ones to go, but he had a lot of open ones too. And I think, you know, a smaller guy, not even smaller, just, you know, quick feet, someone that can be active and take that space away on him. I could certainly see somebody, you know, going in there and just frustrating, even like a DJ Wilson, just a big guy, but quick enough to and long enough to bother him. So he's going to be a point of emphasis for sure, because if he has another big game like that, you know, the Orlando Magic are going to be going to have plenty of confidence.
It's the Milwaukee Basketball Hour featuring Steve Novak. I'm Bill Michael. Steve, I know you got to run. I'm glad to be back together, man, kind of, so to speak. But I'm glad we're doing the show again, and hopefully we're talking about a few more Bucks victories next week.
Agreed. Great to be back on with you, and I think you're right. I think we get together again when the Bucks have won some games. How about that?
No doubt about it. It'll be nice to celebrate in that fashion. Steve, good to hear from you. We'll talk to you later. Coming up next, Marcus Johnson is going to be joining us, and we're going to talk with him his thoughts about Game 1 and about life inside the bubble and about what the Bucks are going through and see if he would make any additional adjustments. That is next on the Milwaukee Basketball Hour.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
On the closeout.
I'll tell you what. How about that to start the playoffs? Giannis with a three.
Love to see that. Giannis knocking down his first shot. And not only knocking it down, but shooting it with all kinds of confidence. He understands what's at stake here this time of year.
Bucks lose, though, last night, 122-110. They lose Game 1. The Magic lead the series 1-0. Welcome back. It's the Milwaukee Basketball Hour. I'm Bill Michaels. Bring him in now on the Network Health Hometown Advantage Hotline, our good friend Marcus Johnson from Fox Sports Wisconsin and Bucks analyst as well. Marcus, it was not the way they wanted to start, and I guess where do you want to start in this one when you looked at it and kind of had a chance to let it sit and settle and think about it today?
Well, Bill, you know, I think we all felt like it would take an almost perfect game by Orlando to have a shot. And they went out and played an almost perfect game, 18 of 19 from the free throw line. They knocked down their three-pointers, shot 49% against this Buck team that's the number one team in the league in terms of opponent effective field goal percentage. Another thing that they had going for them is, and it was addition by subtraction. And what I mean is that, so now you don't have Michael Carter-Williams, who, you know, 29% from the three-point line. No Aaron Gordon, who's about 30% from the three-point line. You replace them with a James Ennis and a Gary Clark, two guys who are real comfortable as role players. They're not looking to do anything more than they can do. And even a Jonathan Isaac, he shoots a little bit better, but he's a guy that he may try and push it coast to coast and do some things to try and turn the game around on his own individual efforts. But they played consummate team basketball. They stuck to the game plan beautifully on the offensive end and defensive, and even more on the defensive end. Even though Giannis had his 30-plus points, they weren't easy to make things tough on him. And they played a great game. The Bucks played a subpar game. Chris Middleton couldn't get going. Bledsoe got cooking after a while. I was still waiting for Dante to kind of find himself since the restart of the season. And so it's a lot of room for improvement for the Bucks, and I'm not sure the Magic, I mean, I think they'll be happy if they could just play as well as they played in Game 1.
We were talking about that in the first couple of segments with Steve, and one of the things when you talk about getting in their rhythm and feeling better, it was not a lot of adjustments to make. It's just a matter of kind of getting into your own game. As a player, you know how that is when you really try to get into your game and all of a sudden it feels like you're running in quicksand and you just – what do you do to try to get yourself out of that feeling and back into your own rhythm?
Well, I disagree to a point about not a whole lot of adjustments because – and we talked about this during the restart. There was a poolside chat going on between Houston and the Nets, and the Nets found that they cracked the code how to beat the Milwaukee defense. And even though I don't know exactly what was said, a lot of it had to do with penetrate, kick it to the weak side, because the Bucks will kind of overcompensate in terms of how they sag in to protect the rim, which they are the best in the league at doing so. But teams are now starting to use that strength against them. I call it like jiu-jitsu basketball, where you use your opponent's strength against them. And so they're penetrating, getting the Bucks to collapse, and then last night it was Vucevic and Fultz or Augustine handling the basketball. So there's some adjustments. You could allow. They did it late in the game where you allow George Hill or somebody to go underneath and try and meet the guard on the other side, as opposed to having Brook drop so far off of Vucevic. The thing I love about the Bucks coaching staff, they play the long game, so they're not going to show all their options defensively, offensively in one game. They're going to see how the flow of the games, the flow of the series go, and then make the appropriate adjustments after that. So there's some things that can be done, but you hit it on the head. A lot of it is just understand. I mean, the whole bubble experience, 3-5, the collapsing down the stretch in a few games, Houston, Brooklyn, the Pelicans not executing for the Bucks. Those were ominous signs that there was some potential brewing in the postseason, and now we're here, and we actually saw some of those things manifest themselves in that game yesterday. So there's some correctables that I think the Bucks will address going into game two.
We were talking about this earlier as well. You take a guy like DiVincenzo, not shooting the ball real well. You got a guy like Pat Connaughton trying to get his legs under him, and he's trying to come back from COVID. So was Eric Bledsoe. It seems like you're still trying to get guys rhythmically into this thing. Bledsoe, I didn't think, had a bad game. I know Pat struggled. I know DiVincenzo struggled yesterday. And those are some of the guys that have been those really good role players. I mean, you've watched this team. This team has had an unsung hero almost every night on the court, and they've shared the glory. And right now it seems like it goes as Giannis goes. And even last night, you didn't get a lot out of what you were kind of hoping for out of Middleton. Brook Lopez struggled specifically beyond the arc last night. Yeah. It seems like just the guys you were normally relying upon, that hero, never showed up.
Yeah. And, again, I think you give Steve Clifford and the Magic some credit, because the unit that they threw out there was a quicker, defensive-minded unit. And again, their strategy was really sound in the wall. Same as Toronto last year. You build a wall. They went even some kind of boxing one alignment when Kim Birch would just follow Giannis around. The other guys were kind of zoning it up away from Giannis. But the luxury that the Bucks have is that, you know, that this is the first round and this is a chance, like the restart games, the 8-seeding games, this is a chance to kind of get guys back in the flow. You mentioned Bledsoe and Pat Connaughton and Dante. But you don't want to mess around too much. You know, you don't want to go down 0-2 to this team, and you shouldn't go down 0-2 to this team. What you've got to do is get them out of their comfort zone. You've got to do some adjustments defensively and trap some of those pick situations or whatever it is you're going to do. Keep guys at home more on the weak side so that they can cover the shooters a little bit more effectively. I thought the rolls to the basket, Terrence Ross with backdoor a couple of times, some backdoor cuts, the weak side defense, looking at the film of this game last night was just not good. And so there's a lot of good, solid adjustments you can make to make things more difficult and make these role players have to play outside of their comfort zone, put it on the floor, James Ennis and Gary Clark, to create your own shot as opposed to just catch and shoot. And like I said, I have all the faith and confidence in the world of this great coaching staff, Coach Bud and the rest of the crew, that they'll make the proper adjustments and crank it up as much as they need to in game two to try and regain the momentum and the control of the series.
You know, the one thing I noticed early on in that ball game, Marcus, last night, was they had a lot of open looks and they didn't shoot. They passed the basketball, they tried to dribble drive and then kick it back out, and then they ended up taking contested shots as the clock wound down. If you're Coach Bud and you look at that, do you tell these guys, you're open, put it up?
Yeah, and Chris Middleton, you know, there's a couple of specific instances where he passed up a pretty open look for him, 15 to 17 feet straight on, and then try and draw a foul. I forget if Fournier or somebody tried to do once or twice against him. So, yeah, I mean, but again, it's something that has been a carryover from the bubble experience. I mean, the execution. I mean, we saw it over and over again, and so there was all this talk about, you know, well, when the playoffs climbed up, took a switch. And my point last night in our open was that, well, this team knows how to be the best team in the league in terms of record during the regular season and know how to win 18 games in a row. They know how to, you know, dominate the Eastern Conference during the regular season. But they don't have that championship gear yet because they haven't been there. And so that's the struggle for this team, to try and understand just how hard you have to play. Quick story. Game 7 against the Sonics in 1980, I matched up against Mesmer High's Johnny Johnson, the late, great Johnny Johnson. And they already won a championship. They've been to the finals, the Sonics had, back-to-back years. And they really taught me a lesson in terms of how you have to come out. I call it, you know, checking your cool at the door. You got to come out like this is the last game you're going to play in your life, and you got to play with that sense of urgency and desperation each and every possession of every moment of a game like that. That was a game 7. It's different than this game, but it's something that the Bucks, I think, are in the process of learning just how hard and dominant and physical and focused you have to be every single moment that you're out there. And that's the challenge for Coach Bud, to get these guys to really grasp that. And the seeding games kind of messed that up because there was nothing to play for. So you don't have to push yourself to that limit, to that level. And now all of a sudden you've got to try and find it. And that's where the struggle is right now for Milwaukee. I think they'll find it. But, again, I said it last night. I think they'll get there. But it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a struggle.
Marcus, real quick before I let you go, in about 30 seconds, what do you expect result-wise out of Game 2?
I think the Bucks will come out, and again, Orlando has a lot of confidence. They're not going away, but I just think our guys, once they play at the level that they can play at, the good thing about last night, Giannis didn't play a great game. He missed some stuff inside, reverse layups and soft finishes at the rim. Middleton didn't play well. We got guys who can play a lot better. They'll do so. As I pointed out before, the Magic played as good as they can play. So even if the Magic bring that A game tomorrow, I think the Bucks will be ready to meet that and exceed it with their effort and with their productivity. And I think we'll win this game. So that's my hope. That's the plan, and I guess we're sticking to it.
Marcus, great to talk to you. Great to have you back on the program. I look forward to doing some more with you down the road, and hopefully we're talking about a lot more Bucks victories, okay?
Yeah, we will be. We'll be, man. Keep the faith, man. It'll be okay.
Appreciate it, pal. There you go. Marcus Johnson joining us for a couple of minutes on the Network Health Hometown Advantage Hotline. Network Health Hometown Advantage Hotline, your Network Health Hometown Advantage Health Plan. Make sure you check them out. Also, our friends at Kessler Diamonds, they're a part of the program as well. And also, don't forget Lammy Sports Management. You want to get a hold of us, go to at @MKEBBallHour. Find us everywhere on social media, at @MKEBBallHour. Bucks take a loss in Game 1. We'll look forward to Game 2. We'll wrap things up coming up next in the Milwaukee Basketball Hour.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We were caught not taking away either. You know, you gotta be good in the paint. We only had 3 block shots. So I think, you know, we can protect the rim better, and we got to find a way to get to the 3-point shooters better also.
That's Coach Budenholzer. The Bucks 122-110 victims last night to the Orlando Magic. Welcome back to the Milwaukee Basketball Hour. I'm Bill Michaels, and we are glad that you are back with us. We're glad to be back on the air. Steve Novak, Marcus Johnson, and yours truly, and we're glad that the show is back. It's not out in front of you, the audience, and the Bucks fans like we'd like it to be, but we'll be back out eventually without a doubt. Also, the bubble, when Coach Bud talks about the bubble in Orlando, he said, look, if we win this thing, it would make a championship more meaningful.
You know, we've all been down here in the bubble for a while, so I think everybody, you know, should be understanding, you know, how to sustain, you know, a run and prevent runs. And so I always love playing in Milwaukee, playing in front of our fans, playing at the Fiserv Forum. They certainly help us. They certainly help in an early first-round game. But, you know, everybody's in the same situation. We're here. That's what's going to make, you know, whoever comes out of here more special.
And then Giannis said, look, when you talk about tomorrow night, the Bucks defense needs to make the Magic uncomfortable.
We just got to play harder, just make them feel uncomfortable. You know, we were doing it at times, but we got to do it for longer stretches of the game. Yeah, I think, you know, sometimes they come off the pick and roll, throw it back. They felt comfortable. So, you know, we got to learn from it. Hopefully we can come out in game 2 and just be more aggressive, getting past the lanes, use our hands, be a little bit more physical, and just get them off their rhythm.
The one good thing about it is Giannis said, you know, look, the Magic play better. We're not worried about this.
Got to keep playing harder. Got to keep playing harder. To be honest with you, I think our energy was good today. I think Energy at times was good. They just played a really good game. They made a lot of shots. Ennis made, Clark made, Terrence Ross made shot, Vucevic made shot. They played good. They played, you know, you got to give that to Orlando, and we just got to keep doing what we're doing, and hopefully things, you know, game two can switch around. Just keep playing hard. Keep playing together, man. That's all you can do. There's nothing. There's no, as you said, there's no magic wand that we just going to, you know, point and things going to change. You got to come out and play hard, play even harder, play together, and, you know, have fun.
George Hill after the ballgame also said, hey, the bubble, it's stressful, but it's not an excuse.
You know, being in this bubble is pretty stressful, but it's basketball. We can't blame it on that. We're here to play a game, here to win championship. So as a team, as a player, we got to figure it out. We all got to look in the mirror, find ourselves, figure out how we can be the best teammate we can possibly be on each play out there on the court.
So yeah, there you go. The challenge for the Magic now is going to be to maintain their intensity, because a year ago, we'll see if they learned from that. They beat the eventual NBA champion Raptors. They kicked off that opening round series, but they lost the next four straight and were blown out of the postseason. So we'll see if they figure out a way to keep that intensity going. Meanwhile, the Bucks will have to make some adjustments and then come back and get ready for a big-time Game 2 tomorrow night down in the bubble. So until next week, which, by the way, next week it'll be on Thursday. The Milwaukee Basketball Hour will be next Thursday night, August 27th. Set your calendars to it. And again, if you want to find us on social media, at MKE B-Ball Hour, at MKE B-Ball Hour, you can always follow me at Bill_Michaels. Thanks to Sam Schmitz producing the program as well. Thanks to Steve Novak, Marcus Johnson, and thanks to you Bucks fans for taking a listen. This has been the Milwaukee Basketball Hour. Until we talk again, have a good one. Sweet.
Wisconsin Wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.